it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
We are Dukes and Bell. Help us out if you're here at Hiram. Everybody's 5 minutes away. We start off every day and every hour by saying, hey, man. Thank you guys for hanging out with us out here at Buffalo's Cafe. Come on through, man. We'll be out here. Bagwell Parkway, Mike and Wendy Bagwell Parkway, should I say. It's been a great day, man, talking about all the things that are going on. Falcons front and center. If you missed Barbara Dooley, she was amazing again today. Told the story about her, how her and Vince met, 62 wonderful years, and then she told the story about how they turned the hoses on.
Yeah, man, going back to 1986. Mentioned Mark Schlabaugh's got a great article in ESPN.com talking about one of the crazier chapters in the great rivalry, the oldest rivalry in the Deep South, the best rivalry. You're going to compare Auburn, Georgia, to North Carolina and Virginia? I was get out of here. Yeah, so it's the best rivalry. But this is one that we mentioned, we'll get into a little bit later this hour. Some difficult matchups that Auburn, maybe on the defensive side, could present to Georgia's offensive line. We'll talk about it.
All right, man. Let's talk about the Falcons, Mike, because Monday night it's going down. It's a big game, not just because it's Monday night. We're coming off the bye. They're coming off of an L against the Patriots. And listen, we'll be up there tomorrow. I'm not sure what to expect from Ra when it comes to the main things that they changed. You've been saying it all week, and I hope they have addressed this. Special teams got to be better. I don't care who's on it. I don't care who's playing it. I don't care who's kicking it. As a whole, it's got to be a benefit for us. It cannot be a deterrent. And that's what it's been, Mike, the last three games. We're not just talking about the last game. Go back to the Carolina game. It was bad. We know that. Mike, flipping the field. Big kick returns. We gave up over 100 yards in kick returns against the Commanders in that game. And people, you know, we won the game, so it didn't feel that way. Better quarterback play, more playmakers on the field. We know they were shorthanded, but you can't do that in this game.
No, man. And we've talked about it with Marquise Williams, the special teams coach. He's been with this organization since 21. If you're going to hold him, and we'll ask Coach about it, because Ike Hilliard got fired after that Carolina game, whether that was simply scapegoating or things were that discombobulated, because we certainly had a much better effort against Washington. But, the special teams – and look, we're not the only team that has given up those big returns. Returns as a whole, starting field position is much better, because I think coaches, the players are still getting a handle on this. Lord knows the fans still don't know what's going on with it, but we can't give Josh Allen the ball at the 45. Yep. You're right about that. Just talking to a couple of our dudes who came over from Douglasville, and these guys are big loyal listeners. We were talking about the defense, what do they think about Buffalo, and I just stumbled onto this talking with them. I said, this is why we got Jalen Walker. I said, this is why we got James Pierce. And I just said to myself, self, you know who's only got 1.5 sacks right now?
Who?
Leonard Floyd. So he's a little below if he's going to get to 9, 8 or 9. Leonard Floyd needs to get it in gear. That's a guy that, he's on a bit of a pitch count as a veteran, but there's a guy that maybe needs to have a big impact. I don't know what his experience are as against Josh Allen and the Bills.
Yeah.
But, it's contain. Setting the edge is for the run game, contain is for the quarterback, but it's kind of like both with Josh Allen because the way he moves around back there.
Yeah, that's a good point. Flo, he's been in the mix. He's playing a lot. He's
sack against Minnesota, half a sack against Command.
Getting a lot of snaps, but you're right. As far as just straight up sacks and pressures, I'd love to see him get and have a big night on Monday night. So Caden Ellis was talking about the Bills. A couple of things from him here on the show. It's Dukes and Bell Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. First of all, we know this defense hasn't peaked, but statistically, we laid this out for you. Falcon fans, we have one of the best defenses in the National Football League. May be hard to believe. You may not want to buy into it. We're top 10 against the pass. Total defense, number one. You start talking about the Bills, they're top 10 pass and rush. They got some guys, obviously, but we haven't talked about our defense in this way in a very long time. And Caden Ellis was like, look, we're playing pretty good, but we're not there yet.
Yeah, and what I think is cool is it hasn't even fully yet. Like, there's so much cool stuff that we've put on the field. There's so many great plays that guys have made. We've had great games. We've had good games. But, man, I just see elite and dominant games coming our way if we can continue to work and just attack the process every single week and continue to, look in the mirror and see, this is the vision that we have for this defense. Let's keep getting closer and closer, and if we do, we'll be special.
The defense is better. Jeff Ulbrich knows what he's doing. And when you drafted the guys you drafted, those were the complementary pieces that this defense needed. Mike, it's evident. Last year, Jimmy Lake did not know what he was doing.
No, he was in over his head. You know, how bad we looked at Minnesota game is probably the one that sticks out in your mind where we had dudes like, remember D. Alford like doing like a crab walk out there, you know, as Jefferson just takes it to the house. So you had a guy that wasn't qualified. Ulbrich is qualified. Ulbrich does know what he's doing. Now, how quickly do our rookies adapt? Because we're still a really young defense. You know, Divine Diablo we like. We just heard from Caden Ellis. But, you know, being aggressive. You said it. We talked about how the Patriots handled this. We're going to get more audio about Do we have the horses to go man-to-man with that secondary?
If A.J.'s healthy.
Otherwise, yeah, it's because fans, they'll call it on Tuesday and go, I hate this prevent defense. It's a zone. It's our version of cover two or three. But sometimes without the pass rush from your down lineman, it looks like a prevent defense.
So when you go man and you cover well, it makes things difficult on Josh Allen. And this is what the Patriots did the other night. Caden Ellis says they've watched the film. They know what the deal is. Now, you don't necessarily just run the same game plan out there because the Bills know where they lacked, and they'll change some things up. But he's right about this. Here's what he said about why the Patriots were able to beat these guys.
They, you know, their corners and their DBs had to stand up in man coverage, and that way the backers and, you know, safety, the D-line were really able to focus on stopping the run, stopping Josh Allen. And obviously they executed it. Their Bills still made plays because, again, the Bills have great players at receiver too, and at tight end, and at running back. Great pass catchers. You know, that looks like that's kind of what the Patriots did, and you know, we'll see what our coaches want to put together for how we play them.
He says stand up. You know, that's again covering guys 3, 4, 5, 6 seconds. Doesn't sound like a lot. Let one of your kids run around for 6 seconds. You try to stay with them. It's hard, man. But if you do it, Mike, he's right. Now Caden Ellis and Divine Diablo can focus. Josh is rolling out. We're here with you. We're watching you. You're not escaping us. Everybody's not turning their head and right. Running 20 yards, and then Josh Allen's down the field. Right. The Patriots did a great job of that.
Coverage sack. I mean, that's the thing. This is one where all those guys we drafted last year, you know, the Brandon Dorlesses, Ruka Ro, talking about, you just mentioned, you know, Pierce and Jalen Walker. This is where, I mean, if ever there's a game where these guys can – the Minnesota game – I don't want to – I'm not apologizing for a win, but J.J. McCarthy had no idea what the hell he was doing.
It's out of garbage.
You know, and they made that happen. They they created some of that. But you can't depend on Josh Allen making those kind of mistakes.
No.
So how athletic – how much can you do with scheme? And then the time of possession thing that Arch brought up yesterday, we and these guys hold the ball longer time of possession than almost anybody in the league. So turnovers are huge.
Yep.
Can't have any empty calories. Can't be settling for field goals because you might not see the ball as often as you'd like.
One other thing from Caden Ellis, guys, as we hang out here at Buffalo's Cafe. Tomorrow we'll be up at Flowery, and we'll have the interviews and all that exclusively here on Dukes and Bell as we do each and every week, getting ready for Monday night. What about how fast this defense has to play? This is something else Caden Ellis was talking about. If you really want to make an impact on this game, and I think this is something they've been discussing leading up to the start of this week.
You know, I'll leave that up to the coaches. Obviously, they're still working on the game plan. They'll get it to us here soon. But I think what a player can take of it is kind of what I was talking about earlier. We got a fast defense that plays round with a great effort. So let's attack. You know, when you got a shot on someone, when you got an opportunity to go make a play, go and make the Bills react to it. Try to put them on their heels and play aggressive and know that your brother's got your back.
Yeah. Look, and he said you got to take your shots. The big thing for me, I told Mike earlier this week, is tackling. If we look up Tuesday and we've got 13 missed tackles, we probably lost the game because that just means you're not wrapping Josh up. Whether it's James Cook too, Mike, it doesn't matter. These guys are elusive, man.
Yeah. Now, again, what does McDermott do looking at what we talk about the old Mike Smith phrase.
Self-scout.
We're going to self-scout. But, hey, man, how imaginative is Zach Robinson? We said this earlier. You know, I don't understand. All right, I'll say it one more time. Just start the season next time on the freaking sideline, okay? You should have used the preseason for that. But how imaginative, what is he going to throw at Buffalo that they haven't seen before? You know, Arch talked about yesterday, those, we loved it. Things you and I said we wanted to see, those stack formations.
Yes.
Pitts, I want to see Pitts be a bigger factor in this game. Continue to get the ball to Pitts. We were just talking to some of the listeners during the commercial break. Pitts is better this year. Whether it's healthy or he's engaged with his quarterback or whatever it is, I think he's still underutilized.
I do, too. Look, he's got a touchdown. I think, you know.
Contract year, too.
It is. He's going to.
Somebody, his agent might have told him a little extra effort in there.
But I think he's going to have one of these games. It'll happen. It may happen Monday. A couple of touchdowns, Mike. He's right there for it to happen. But I agree. I think he's playing a lot better. The other thing that's amazing is Pitts. When he's thrown to, he catches it. He is not dropping balls.
Nope.
Go look at his numbers, like 7 targets, 6 balls. 8 targets, 7 catches. That's what he's been doing all season so far. What's up, Day-Day? What you got?
So it's funny. We're talking about Pitts. So my daughter in our family fantasy league dropped Kyle Pitts over the weekend.
What?
Of the bye.
I'll claim it.
The bye. So talking about people overhearing you and stuff like that.
So
and the wife were riding. We're on our way to Memphis.
Yeah.
And I go, oh, shoot. Deja dropped Kyle Pitts. My wife, while driving the car, grabs her phone and tries.
She's ruthless. She's ruthless.
But we got the waiver wire, right?
Wow.
So I had to break it down to her. I said, well, you're fortunate. You're ahead of me in the waiver wire. This morning, waiver wire opens up.
Right.
The gentleman that I am.
You let her have it.
I text her and I said, man, get Kyle Pitts now.
You're so whipped.
And so she's like, but no, to the point about his production. She's like, well, is he good? And I'm like, is he good? I said, listen, Kyle Pitts has the potential to be that dude.
Yes.
All jokes aside, in this league, to your point, Falcons got to get him more involved in this offense. But, yeah, I was a gentleman, and it's not being whipped, man.
You're whipped, man.
Being whipped.
Your wife got you by the short hairs, man.
Listen,
hey, man.
It's not being whipped. It's like when I need that, when I get that tap on the shoulder.
All right.
When I give that tap on the shoulder.
Okay.
Yeah. Remember when I told you to draft Kyle Pitts?
Yeah.
I'm helping you out.
Checks and balances.
I'm helping you out.
I hear that. Hey, man. No way to segue from that to the Hall of Fame, but D. Orlando Ledbetter. Thanks, Mike and Carl.
What's up, D. Ledbetter?
I wish I was in Hiram right now. Thank you, D. 5 former Falcons advancing in the Pro Football Hall of Fame seniors category.
Okay.
I know that for guys that of a certain age who saw Tommy Nobis, I never got to see Tommy play, but Tommy Nobis was the man. If you put Tommy Nobis in a Jets, Giants, I don't know, Bears uniform, he's probably in the Hall of Fame. But, you know, Atlanta was a much, much smaller market back in the, you know, in the 70s. But Chris Hinton, a guy, longtime Pro Bowler, great guy. Billy White Shoes Johnson, Mike Ken, longtime Pro Bowler. Clay Matthews Jr., Tommy Nobis make the next round. I've always felt the same thing goes for Jeff Van Note. One of the great guys, longtime broadcaster for the Falcons back on the day. But anyway, those are the guys at least have a shot for what it's worth. And maybe Nobis will get there posthumously.
I hope so. We say this about the Hall of Fame. Mike, you got to have lobbyists and people that talk about your story and how great you were. And if you don't have that, you're not getting in. If it's not blatantly obvious and you didn't play in New York, right?
Right. Big markets, big having those multiple voters, too, from multiple media outlets.
Correct. And so that's a story that has to be told, and somebody has to lobby for that. And that's been part of the problem with these great players that played in Atlanta. And I'm not saying that they're not. But when you guys go – all these writers go into the room, and they're like, hey, let me tell you about – and everybody's got to be there shaking their head like, okay.
Right.
And you start this momentum that eventually builds to a guy getting in.
Right.
Some players, guys, first ballot, you know, you just know who they are. You don't have to argue. When Tom Brady's name comes up, everybody's looking around the room and goes, all right, well, that's a no-brainer.
But Jeff Van Note was a Pro Bowler, played 16 years for the Jets. He's in. Done. That's a shame. I just know Noter, and that's one of those dudes we always lobby for. But, hey, man, that's the price of a smaller market. Hey, by the way, I just saw it today. We didn't get a chance to get it in the guy talk because it just happened. They caught that last escapee.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, 2-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
From New Orleans. You see this dude?
He blew
a kiss when they put him in the APD car to the cameras.
I didn't see him, but I thought one of the best lines from my man G Money here, who does our on-site engineering. Everybody in New Orleans trying to get to Atlanta. This dude escaped jail and ended up in the ATL.
Is he off Campbellton Road? Where was
That's the best. It's so true. Yeah. So, no, man.
The only guy who's not 5 minutes from Hiram because he's in the back of the
it's true.
Popo right now.
Hey, man, coming up, serious questions, and I don't think he's going to last. I just don't. We'll tell you what that's all about when we come back here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a great conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.